All right, here we go. We're up to our pasuk of Gimel. Mizmor Lamid Zayin pasuk of Gimel. We went through really pasuk Yitess last time. We did pasuk Yitess to pasuk of Gimel, and I just want to finish off pasuk of Gimel before we go on to the new section, and that is Me Hashem. Very important pasuk because we mentioned this pasuk in davening. Me Hashem Mitzadei Gover. From Hashem are the footsteps of man. Koinanu, from Hashem, mitzadei gever, koinanu. The footsteps of man are established. V'darko yechbatz, and Hashem, and the way of man does Hashem want. So let us read the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David first, and this pasuk that we did, but we already did this. Review this pasuk. Me Hashem mitzadei gover, mitzadei hagibor b'Torah. We really the machloek is in Rashi and the Mitzudas. Are we referring to a person whose footsteps are established in Torah, or does it refer to someone who is established in Yirah Shamayim? Okay, mitzadei hagibor b'Torah heimok kolnu me Hashem mitzadei lemar Hashem mechoinen u'miyasher tse'odav. Hashem establishes and straightens his strides. The word tzedav loosely translates strides. And on the next page, v'darkoi, Hashem chofetz darko, u'matzlichoi biyod, Hashem desires his way, and Hashem brings about his success. Okay, now let's look over here at Rashi. Rashi says, mitzadei gever, mishu hu gibor biyiras hakodosh varchu. Machlekes, Rashi and the Mitzudah is, are we referring to over here the gever? Gever obviously means a person who is a gibor, a person who has has reached exalted heights of success in the gvura. And is this referring to Torah, or is it referring to Yiras Shamayim?
So
that Baruch Atah Hashem Chaim Elochim Hamitzadei. Hamechin, Hamechin, Hashem prepares. Hamechin mitzadei gover. So really, the Chazal changed the nusach of the pasuk. Here it says, Hashem, from Hashem comes the mitzadei, from Hashem, mitzadei gover, koinonu, are established. We say in the nusach tefillah, Hamechin, Hashem prepares. There's a very big difference between Hashem preparing the strides of man versus the establishment. That man's footsteps are established. It's interesting, it's a little different. And this pasuk where it comes from, there's a machlokes between the Mitzudas and Rashi, is referring to the gever, referring to a gibor in Torah, arze halavana nadiri ha-Torah, or is referring to a gibor in yiras ha-Kodosh Baruch Hu. That itself is a very interesting expression, because when we talk about yirah, we have yiras Hashem, Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Elokim. I don't recall ever saying Yiras, the Yiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very interesting way to describe Yiras Shamayim. Too long. Okay, we always like to discuss, what is the name, I don't want to spend too much, what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a composite of Kadosh, 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 Baruch Kivoid Hashem Emekoymoy, and Hashem al Husei Koem Le'olam Ul Yomel Maya. There are three words. Kadosh, Baruch, Hu. Who said Kadosh? Kadosh was said by Yeshaya.
Right.
Yeshaya says, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivokas Muloi Choloretz Kivoidei. Who said Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mekoimoi? That was said by Yecheskel. Mm-hmm. They lived 200 years apart. Yeshaya lived in a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory was apparent. It was in the middle of the era of the Bayis Rishon, and you walk in the street, you can see Hashem. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivokos, Miloi Chol Haaretz Kevoidei. Yirmiyah, no, it wasn't Yecheskel, it was Yecheskel, Yecheskel, Yecheskel in Bavel, it wasn't apparent. Already there was Golos. The Golos already began 11 years before the Churban, the Golos already began. They were already in Bavel al Nahar Kivar, and Yecheskel said, Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoimai. Which Mokoim? Aye Mikoim Kivoidai. Where? Where is the Mikoim Hashem? It's not Miloi Chol Haaretz Kivoidai. It's a different world. It's a world of Hester Ponim, Golos. Jews are suffering. Jews have gone into Golos. So there is Kodosh, Yeshaya. There are 200 years later, Yechezkel. Yechezkel says, Baruch Kivod Hashem Mekaymoi. And we replied to that, who? Behaviyasa Yehei. It's all the same. Don't chas v'shalom make a mistake and think there are two different gods. There's a god that is benigle, and there's a different god that's benister. It's the same. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Sometimes Hashem conducts himself with rachamim, sometimes with din, but it's Hashem Echad. It is the same God. Don't make a mistake and think there's chas v'shalom, there's shtei rishuyos, it's only one God. That's the title, the HaKadosh, Kama, that's one era. Baruch, a different era. Kadosh relates to Yeshaya. Baruch relates to Yechezkel. Kadosh is benigle. Hashem is rachamim. Hashem is all over. You can see Hashem openly. And Baruch is where Hashem is behester panim. Who? It's the same. It's the same God. Don't make a mistake and think there are two different gods. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here we have a very interesting over here expression. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we have a new expression. Yiras Gibor Biyiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I challenge you to go search Tanakh and to find this expression, that this Yiras Hashem, there's Yiras Shamayim, there's V'lo Yorei Elokim. And there is now a new term called Yiras in Rashi. Rashi's words are very sacred. Yiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ramachal, what does this old French word mean over here? Yes, Rashi Chav Gimel. Two different parts.
Yeah, there are two sets here. Ta means steps. Fort of the strong. F-O-R-T. Fortress.
Forte. The steps of the strong. That's mitzadei gever, yeah. And what does konanu mean? Konanu?
It says, Kuro afeite are prepared for reality. It's a new one on me.
Prepared for reality. All right. Okay. Hashem establishes a person, a gever, the mitzadeh, the steps of a person who's a yorei shamayim, koinanu, they are prepared. You're saying prepared for reality? Pur nit. Pur nit means prepared? That's very interesting, because that's what we say, Hashem hechin mitzadeh gover. I started with that it's not the same word. Koinanu miloshen hachono. Look at the mitzudos tzion. The mitzudos tzion indeed says this. Koinanu miloshen hachono. Okay, so look what it says in the Targum. Targum min kodom Hashem pisi osoihi de gavra misak non. Like what I wanted to say. The different that means established. The Targum says misaknon. Misaknon is not the same word as hachono. Hachono means to prepare. That's not established. When you prepare something, it's not yet established. A misaknon is tikkun. Tikkun means it is established. Okay, tikkun. Misaknon, it is prepared. I says where it is. Okay, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into this. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much. Let's take a look over here at the first Ma'amar Chazal. Okay, let's look pasuk of Gimel. It's a very important pasuk. Me Hashem mitzadei gever koinanu. Amr Rabbi Chanina ein adam nekev mikabel maka beetzbe milamata bilmazem ela imkein machriz no lova shemayim milamala. Shenemar me Hashem mitzadei gever. Even the smallest thing a person is noikeif, Etzba'ay milmat. Nega means to prick his finger, a small little injury, a small little uncomfortable prick. Even that, in other words, hashgacha pratis. According to the Maamar Chazal, this pasuk is a revelation from scripture, from Tehillim, to the principle of hashgacha pratis. Every single little thing that happens in this world is ordained, is established in Shamayim. Even the smallest little thing, even what we're calling over here noikev etzba'oy milamata. And how do you know that? From this pasuk, me Hashem mitzadei gever koinanu. The Maamar Chazal over here is not mentioning that here we're dealing with a yoresh shamayim. It doesn't mention that we're dealing with a Talmud Chacham. Rashi and the Mitzudas emphasize that the Gever here is either a Yorei Shamayim or a Talmud Chacham. That's not what it says here in the Maamar Chazal. It just says Adam, every single human being. And we're describing over here the smallest little event that happens in his life. Me Hashem Yotza Hadavar. Fascinating. Okay, now let's look over here. Let's see what it says over here in the Chemes Hanoch, on page 335. May Hashem mitzadei gever koinanu v'dar ko yechbatz efshem mash amru perik koyonaitel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan lamanu yiras chait v'besula shahaisa mispalila shlo yikashlu ba b'nei Adam. We find a concept of yiras chait v'besula shahaisa mispalila. There was a psula that we prayed shlo yikashlu ba b'nei Adam. Kabbalah Socher Me'almana, we find the concept of reward from an almana. Shachisa Toirachas Lovel Lehispalil Mishum Schar Pesiois. V'nimsa, this is going back to Gemara Masech the Brachas. Oh, here it's from Said, but it's still, let's see. V'nimsa Shim Adam Toireach Lovel Beisak Nesha Shalu Rokoik Hagam Sheyesh Karoif Eitzel Beisak Kodesh Baruch Hu Kovei Eloi. Hashem gives this person, I'm turning to page 337, gives him schar pesiyos, v'zeo sh'omar, may Hashem, there's a halach, the halach is that a person should daven in a shul, not the closest shul. You have to walk to the second shul, because in order that when you pass by the first shul, you should say, this is the shul that I don't daven in. Right? That's the Gemara. The Gemara says you're supposed to do that. Why? Schar pesiyos. Because this way, when you're walking further, how many shuls do you pass? When I daven every day, I pass a couple of shuls. I pass quite a number of shuls, and I go to shul that I daven in. These are the shuls that I don't daven in. So you get schar, you get the schar pesiyos. V'zeo shamar. I know a rabbi told me, he has trouble getting a minyan. I mean, now since COVID, he used to have the minyan was I don't know if it was 7 o'clock, it was a quarter to seven, and for 25 years, he mamish could not get a minyan. For 25 years. When COVID came along, they shut down the shul for whatever, and then when they reopened, they decided until things get back to normal, we'll daven 8 o'clock. And he had an incredible minyan. First, you know, there were two minyanim, three minyanim, you know, in the basement and here and there, break it up. Whole thing was, they broke it up and this way. And then eventually they all came back together into the base medrash. One minyan, 8 o'clock. And the minyan is thriving now. The minyan is unbelievable. It's like they have probably 30 people every day. And for 25 years, when the minyan was a quarter to seven, always on the street, I would avoid walking down that street. Just not to be chapped. If I would walk down, Mamash should not walk down that, because I know if I walk down that street, the rabbi would be outside. Could you please come and be mashlem the minyan? I'm like, no, I don't want to daven here.
But since that time, everybody
retired. It's true and it's not true. There is some truth to that, but there are young people. Whatever it is, it's a new. Whatever it is. So he told me. So I always
in the bird with the outdoor minyanim.
Yeah.
Somehow or other,
still
there. You read
articles. Okay. It's a new world today. We live now in. Look, we're still here with Zoom. Look, what is this computer doing over here? A computer and a mic. We never had this. We never had a computer. You know, it's a new world today. Obviously, the world turned upside down. and not everything is a maila. It is what it is. It is what it is. Whatever it is, it is. But so I was. So he once told me. I always wondered for 25 years. Call it quits. You know. When are you going to throw in the towel already? So he told. First of all, it turned out now he's doing very well. Now Baruch Hashem, it's mamish. He's doing very well now. But 25 years he couldn't get. So he once told me that in the beginning, when this was going on, when he was outside in the street snoring for someone to come in, so he had a relative. I don't want to give away who everything. A very very big Talmud Chacham, a very well respected person, a Baal Eitza, and he told him, "I quit." It's crazy. I'm every day. So he said to him, "Tell me, how many people do you have that come steadily?" So he says, "We have like 6, 7. They come every day." But it's always torture to get those last three people. So it's ridiculous. So we'll have a Shabbos minyan. What do we need this for? So he says, why do those seven people come? They come every day, those seven. Why do they come? There's so many shuls here in Flatbush. Why do they bother coming? Obviously, if they keep on coming every single day, those seven people, they're getting something by you that they can't get somewhere else. And whatever it is, it's convenient. They just have a certain privacy. They have a certain comfortableness. They don't have to come.
They feel counted.
Whatever it is, they don't have to come to you. There's so many shuls. Obviously, these people, these seven people, there's something that you have that is. They feel good. So he said, it's worth it. It's worth it for those seven people. Don't disappoint them. You already started. You're already doing it. Somehow you're still surviving. Every day you have a million at the end of the day. It takes a little time to get the people to come. It's kedai. So it's amazing. I couldn't do this. I wouldn't last a day.
Right.
But he has the stamina, all to his credit, and he kept at it for 25 years. Now he's doing, now Baruch Hashem, it's very, very beautiful. He doesn't have these problems, not so much. Maybe by mincha in the afternoon once in a while. But you know, it's a very fascinating thing is you know, there's so many shuls. Why is it necessary? Obviously, there's something to it. I think about this a lot. You go to shul, why do I go? I daven in different places. You know, the Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of places I can go. There are a lot of Friday night, I can go to a few places, I can go Mitzvah Shabbos, different places, I can go Shacharis during the week. There are certain places I select to go, and obviously, because this is where I feel comfortable. And those shuls, they're doing a service, I owe them. Because they're doing something which I feel comfortable there, whether it's because it's a lechatchila or it's the lesser of the evils, whatever it is. Obviously, if this is what you're settling on, there's something to it. And, you know, you have over here a pause. Pause over here says there's a halacha.
Like Erstein
Veretzel? You also had a hard time?
He didn't have a minion. Very difficult for him to get a minion. He had to get people to walk in. I'm talking about the late 60s.
First open.
Fascinating. All right, Mehashem Mitzad over here, this Chumash Anach mentions the Schar Pisiyos, where a person, he walks, person is walking to where he feels comfortable. And in the process, he's passing over the Kinesios, and Hashem, over here it says on page 337, on the top line, Schar Pisiyos, V'zeru Sh'amar Me'Hashem Mitzadei Gever Koinanu, Heim Nechoinim, they are prepared. V'darko Yechbots L'Shalim Loi Schar Pisiyos Agam She'ein Oit Tzorech, Hashem will reward him for his footsteps, even though that's not necessary. He can go closer. V'yakavona me'Hashem. What does this mean? Me'Hashem means midas harachamim. Yudkei vavkei mitzadei gever ha'pesiyos shemarbe lechvoidoi yisparach heim nechoinim v'chashuvim lefonov yisparach. Every footstep that a person takes in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is precious. Uv'roiv racham of Meshalim and Hashem's abundance of compassion, Hashem rewards Meshalim al kol pesiyo. Hagam sha mitzvah sho'isa. Even though the mitzvah sho'isa hu lulechas tovei sakneses, even though, I don't know what he means by this, the hagam sha mitzvah sho'isa hu lulechas tovei sakneses, v'zeh sho'amar, v'daka yechbats v'tzon olaymar l'shalofi u'emes. Lo osa ze ela, v'daka yechbats sho'olich l'bei sakneses, kevon shemarbe b'shviloi mitzadei gever, ha'pesiyois sheheim chashuvois l'fondov yisporach. Inami. Okay, let's go to the next pshat. I'm not so sure you understand what that first part means, but inami. Lefi pshutoi. Dikevon she'odam b'tzoyna l'lachas b'derech ha'toyev la'avodas Hashem. B'machashav ezu levad zoyche she'akadosh baruch hu ezroi u'meginoi u'motzi lo'or machshavtoi. V'zehu she'omar. In other words, b'derech she'odam motzi leilech, sham meilichin oisoi. If a person wants to serve Hashem, Hashem helps him get there. V'zehu she'omar me'Hashem mitzade gever konanuk shehu misayoi. It's a beautiful interpretation of the Pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu helps the person. Hashem helps you get where you want to go. V'darko yechpatz. If this is where you want to go, I will help you get there. You have to read the Pasuk backwards. V'darkoi. The derech of man. Where do I want to go? I want to go to California. That's where I want to go. So if that's where you want to go, then Hashem says, that's where I want to go. Yechpatz. And I will help you get there. May Hashem, now you go back to the beginning of the pasuk, Hashem will help that person get where he wants to go. B'derech she'adam roitze leilech. Sham meilichin oisai v'zehu she'amar mi'Hashem mitzad egever koinanu shehu misai oy. Hashem brings assistance v'oizroi v'yakol mi'Hashem hagam she'odam ein leki'im v'darko yechbatz. Although a person only darko yechbatz shehu chafetz, all a person who wants to go v'reitz v'erech Hashem, he just wants to go somewhere. Zeh levad, that alone, the rotzoin poseach es yodecho masbia l'chol chai. Rotzoin. Hashem opens up his hands and satisfies every single person al derech pshat. I know there are many, many perushim on this pasuk. We say three times a day. But according to the simplest understanding, which is difficult, is Hashem opens up his hands and satisfies every single person with rotzoin, with what he wants to do. If you want to go somewhere, Hashem will satisfy you and help you get there. Zel levarahanyalei ki Hashem imoy l'shamer. Hashem is with you to guard you ulechoinin darko, and to prepare your way. Okay, so we're saying over here, one shot. Me Hashem mitzadei gover, from Hashem koinanu. The first shot was Hashem's rachamim will reward man for his footsteps. According to the first interpretation of the Chumash Hanoch, it appears that he's saying over here that Hashem means Hashem will reward man for his footsteps. If a person, the koinanu means the footsteps that man has established. Man alone has prepared. If you decide you're going to walk to a shul where you know that you will be able to daven with greater concentration and have an aliyah in your ruchnias, and you walk the extra mile, so may Hashem, from Hashem will come upon you a shefa of blessing. That's the gist of his first interpretation. According to the second interpretation, we're not discussing reward for what man does. We are discussing Hashem granting siyata d'shmaya for man to get where he needs to be, if this is where he wants to go. Very different approach. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, it's not really saying any of that. It's saying that Hashem establishes in this world people who are Yirei Shemayim. Me Hashem, from Hashem, the Mitzadei Gever Koinanu, a person who is a Gibor in the Torah and the Yirei Shemayim, his ways of life are established. A whole different flavor. It's a different flavor of understanding Pshat the Pasuk. Lefi Rashi, the Mitzudos verse, what it says here, the two Emhalchim in the Choymas Anoch. Let's now take a peek at what it says in the Malbim on page 335. Me Hashem, Mivo'er Od, Shegam im Tire Shabbatech Bahashem, Yipo Lepamim Mimadregosai. Although we find sometimes a person who's a Yorei Shemaim, he falls. Gam Zehu Beashkachas Hashem Letoivoso, Sha'achas Sheme Hashem. Mitzadei gever koinanu v'darko yechpatz ritzoinu loymar shebein aderech she'elov yelech, that road she'elov yelech hu kavua me Hashem she'Hashem boicher lefonov haderech aderech asher yechpatz V'gam ha-tza'ad ala derech hu gam kein me-Hashem, k'mo she-kosuf, ki lo l'odom darko lo v'lisho lech v'hochin v'hochin es-sodof, k'mo she-pirashi shom she-bein ha-tachlis she-elov magmas, p'anav v'bein ha-licho bein el-tachlis, v'hishtad lus she-hi ha-chon as-sodof ha-kol me-Hashem, v'im kein im tireh. Okay, it would appear over here that according to the Malbim is reading this pasuk as an introduction into the next pasuk. So we really need to see the next pasuk to get more appreciation of what this means. So at least that we take out of this is that the machlik of even the farshim is pasuk of gimel a pasuk that stands on its own merit, or is it really just an introduction into the next few pesukim? So let's now do the next few pesukim. Pasuk chavdal. So we'll try to do a whole page here. Pasuk page 336. We're on page 336. We're now about to do pasuk few pesukim. Pasuk chavdal. Chavdal ki yipol lo yutol. If a tzaddik falls, lo yutol, he will not be taken away. Okay. This. What does it mean over here? The word. If he falls, he will not collapse. The word yutol is similar to the word yipol. Okay, it's a similar word. One is a pay, one is a test. Look what it says in the mitzudos. There is no mitzudos siyin, but there's a mitzudos David. Ki yipol af im yichye noite. He learns the word yipol not to mean actually fall. He learns the word yipol to mean if he will tilt, if he will appear to be collapsed, to appear to be faltering, correct? Lo yushlach lo oretz. He will not collapse to the earth. He will not go all the way down. Why? Because ki Hashem soimech yodoi. Hashem picks him up. Hashem supports him. Pasuk chafei.
Sometimes you trip.
You catch yourself.
Yeah.
Right, so that's exactly what it's saying. Because the sprach is going to put a person falling all the way down. Now we come to one of the most famous psukim in Tanakh. One of the most famous psukim in the entire, you say this, benching. Nahar hoyisi. Who's saying this? Who's the one that's saying this? Okay, the sar shel olam. Because the sprach has a foreman. He has a foreman as a malach that takes care of everything. And this malach that has seen this, the expanse of the world history, he's saying this. That's not so. That's already a drush. But let's see. Mufarshim nar hoyisi. I was a nar. Gam zakanti. I also became a zaken. V'loy roisi. I never witnessed a tzaddik, a righteous person, abandoned. V'zaroi, and his seed mevakesh lochem. And his children be beggars. Okay, we have to see exactly what this means in a few moments. Let's go further. Let's do a few things together. Kol hayoyim choyn umalveh. Every single day, choynein umalveh. Who is this referring to? To Hashem. Who is the subject of this? Hashem or the tzaddik? L'chor it's Hashem. Every day Hashem is choynein. He is gracious. Umalveh, and he lends. V'zaroy l'vrocha, and his seed. Who is the seed? Different interpretations. If it refers to Hashem, Klal Yisrael is homiletically referred to Hashem Zera, Hashem's seed. We are Hashem's children. We are Bini B'choyri Yisrael. We are Hashem's firstborn. Hashem has two children. Hashem has the Malachim, angels, the Bnei Elokim. The angels are called many times in Tanakh the Bnei Elokim, the children of God. And Klal Yisrael is also called the child. Bonim atem laHashem elokeichem. Lois is goydidu. Lois osimu karcha beinechem lemeis. So the angels are Hashem's children. I heard this from Rabbi Shur. Shavrifu Shleim, Rabbi Shur. Rabbi Shur is in the hospital. Rabbi Avram Shur, the Rabbi over here on Avenue J. Yeah, I hope he's out of the hospital by now. Baruch Hashem, he should be okay. But I heard him say this once. Very beautiful. He says that the malachim are called the bnei elokim, and klal yishul are called bin the children. Bodim atem lashem lokechem lois siskoidu v'losim kochem benechem lemeis. Who's the bechor? When you have two sons, who's the bechor? B'nei b'chayre Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the b'char. Klal Yisrael is the b'char. The Zera Mevarach. Klal Yisrael Nar. If you say that, it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here says that V'loi Yisit Tzadik Kol Hayom HaChayin Amal V'Hashem is gracious. A different interpretation of what this pasuk means. Let's assume for the moment that I'm referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is he is Chayin Amal V'Zaroi Levracha. His seed is Levracha. So what is the end of the pasuk have to do with the beginning of the pasuk? So we'll see in a second. Next pasuk, Sur Meirav Asay Toiv. Okay, another very famous pasuk, Sur Meirav. Desist from evil, Va'asay Toiv, and do good. Ushachoin, and this way, La'olam, you will live forever. Now, this is Namash living now in the season where we don't do this. We're living in Elul. In Elul, what comes first? First comes Rosh Hashanah, and then comes Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is in the Geder of Sur Meirav. What is Rosh Hashanah? New Year's resolution. It's good. It's pumfakert. You go into Rosh Hashanah, toiv. You don't do teshuva with intensity on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, you say a few things here and there, but Rosh Hashanah is all about be positive. Be positive. You have to be optimistic and positive. Asay toiv. And then comes Yom Kippur, where we focus on Sur Meirah. So the truth is, it's a machloikis. There are different mahalchim. And today, listen, we live in a generation today where the attitude is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is Asay Toiv, and then Sur Meirah. A person has a problem, the first thing is, forget about your problem for now, forget about doing teshuvah, the first thing is, just get back with the program. And after you get yourself back on track, then we'll try to figure out how to do teshuva to amend all of the baggage that you have around you. First thing is get yourself back on solid footing. So this pasuk is discussing a very interesting concept where no, there are times in life where the first thing is you can't be toivel v'sheretz b'yaday, right? You can't be toivel v'sheretz b'yaday. Where I go to a mikvah, they have a frog in the mikvah. It's not a real frog, it looks like a real frog, and it's floating in the mikvah. And it's, what is it? It's a thermometer. It has to keep the temperature. Could be that you have to measure the guy who runs the mikvah now, he's a chemist. He measures the pH of the water every day. He comes there with chemicals, and he filters the water. It's never been so good, the mikvah. It's clean like you never saw. And the water, he knows all these things that no one ever heard of. And he has a frog floating in the mikvah that measures all of the electronic readings in the mikvah and sends the electronic readings to know what's going on. Toivel, so I always say, toivel v'sheretz b'yaday. Electronic frog. In any event, at any event, yeah, it is waterproof. It's whatever. He's very machbid. It has to be unbelievable. Okay. In any event, we are over here. So today, you know, mamish. Today, the attitude is in this world, we are shut over doubt. Today, a person's in trouble. Be toivel v'sheretz b'yaday, mamish. That's the approach today. And then after you're in the mikvah, then we'll get rid of the sheretz. But you first have to do the toiv. But on the other hand, there's another approach, which I don't know if it's our generation, it's Sur Meirah V'Asay Toiv. You don't go into the mikvah until you let go of the sheretz. Okay, that's old school. David here is outdated. It's a Sur Meirah V'Asay Toiv. U'Shechoin Le'Oilam. That is the idea. Now let's take a look at all these psukim, many people psukim over here. And let's start with the Mitzudai Stavit, Pasuk of Dal on the page. What?
I told you once, I had somebody who, a long time acquaintance, who was in jail. He's locked up. For the lunch program. So afterwards, he went to the tshuva and things like that. The Rebbe told him to go to the mikvah 50 days in a row.
How many times?
50 days in a row.
50 days in a row to do, that was what he told him. So he was doing it and doing it. And then finally, he was in the 40s. And I said to him, so you finished the 50 days? He said he stopped at 47. What do you mean you stopped at 47? He was afraid that it would really change him. He didn't want it changed.
Oh. Woo! Okay.
He went to jail again. Many years later. Same business.
He was
in the catering
business.
Finances.
Let's see what it says over here in the Mitzudah Stavid. The Mitzudah Stavid over here says page 337. Sur Meirah, Pasuk of Dal, Kiyipol. Af im yiyeh noite lo yushlach lo oretz. Even if he will falter, he will not collapse. Chafei. You have another pasuk. Sheva pamim yipol tzadik v'kam. A tzaddik falls 7 times, but vakam, but he makes it back up. Okay, pasuk in the chafchei, nar ha'yisi, ritzoyin eloibar. We have a joke at night. We learn dafyomi. We have an ongoing joke. And the joke is that whenever Rashi says keloimar, this person sponsors a kiddush on Shabbos. Keloimar. Whenever Rashi says Koloimar, you know what that means? They call it Koloimar Rashi. Koloimar means don't read the words literally. You have to inject into the Gemara background a deep understanding of what. Whenever Rashi says Koloimar, it's a stop sign. You come to a complete stop and look more than both ways. Look four ways. Look all around. Because don't read it. It's mamish a yomtif. Then we have another guy, whenever the Gemara says Maisa, he sponsors a Kiddush. Whenever there's a Maisa. And then we have, whenever the Gemara says Ella, what does Ella mean? That there's a Gemara, the Gemara says that there was in one of the Amorim, I don't know who it was, maybe someone here knows, he learned his whole life in Bavel. And then he made Aliyah, he was a Zionist, like Meir, he made Aliyah. And when he made Aliyah, he fasted for 40 days. Why? Because when you go to Eretz Yisrael, there's a different mahalech in learning. So he fasted 40 days to forget everything that he learned, the mahalech of Bavel, so he can come to Eretz Yisrael with a fresh mind, a fresh perspective. So many times the Gemara...
A lot of people do it the other way around. They leave Eretz Yisrael, they come here with a fresh mind.
You have to learn. So therefore, what did he do? He fasted for 40 days to forget everything that he learned in order to not to be influenced by old way of thinking, in order to have a fresh perspective. When the Gemara has a sugya, the Gemara says, we have a kasha. And then the Gemara says, Ella. What does Ella mean? It's a very powerful word, Ella. Forget everything that we've learned until now. Fresh. We have a fresh new approach to answer the difficulty. Sometimes the Gemara does not say Ella, which means we're adding another Nekuda. Keep on the same trend of thought, just add another dimension to explain. And sometimes the Gemara says Ella. Ella generally means everything that we've learned until now, out the window. We have a fresh perspective. So I sponsor a tiny Sibur whenever the Gemara says Ella. One fellow sponsors a kiddush whenever Rashi says Kloimar. One fellow sponsors a kiddush whenever the Gemara says Maisa. And I sponsor a fast day whenever the Gemara says Ella. See, I have to pay a lot of money, very cheap to sponsor a tinus.
You know what the Maharsha says, you have to give at least the amount of money you save from not eating. Or else I don't know what you did.
Very good, very good.
What was the purpose of your fast? To save money?
No, the purpose, right?
Did you save by not eating?
Exactly. What you say by not eating, you have to give.
Shots up how much?
You give the poor people, absolutely. Whenever the Mitzudos David says, Ritzoinoi Loimar, it is equivalent to Keloimar. Don't read the pasuk literally. So now we're going to nominate Meir Appeldorf to sponsor a kiddush every time it says in the Mitzudos. It says Ritzoyna Loimar Nar Hayisi. What does this mean? Ritzoyna Loimar Benarusi uviziknusi histakalti lirois hanase betzadik. Who's speaking? Pashup Shah David. Let's learn Pashup Shah before you get to the Midrashim. That David says, when I was young, when I was a Zokain, does that mean to say that David composed this mizmah when he was a Zokain? Il-Khariyah, if you want to go take this literally, and David composed this mizmah, and David over here is calling himself a Zakein. Zakein, so how old? David died when he was 70 years old. When does a person reach Zikna? At what age is a person a Zakein? We have over here Yoshua, was called the Yoshua bin Nar, Lo Yamush Mitoicha Oyel. How old was Yoshua when the pasuk is about Yoshua Nar? He was an old man in our standards. And he says he was a Nar, Lo Yamush Mitoicha Oyel. What?
Once
Moshe appointed him, he became. But how old? I went through the whole writing on this. So every time it says until the word Nar, make it and analyze how old was that person. It says about Yosef, the Hu Nar, as B'nai Bila, B'nai Zilpa, the Nar, he was 17 years old by Yosef. You go through all the, you go, it says, Ephraim and Menashe. It says, Hamalach HaGolos Yivarech Es HaNe'odim, the Korei Vohem Shmi, how old what were Ephraim and Menashe when it says about them, Yivarech Es, and they were not youngsters. They were not youngsters. I don't know exactly. There are different opinions.
Yaakov was like 30 years after the Yosef disappeared. How old was it?
22
years. So when did Yosef
It was the end of his life. So it had to be he was okay, I don't know.
13 years after he was in the triumph, he got married when he became king the last 9 years. And so he had his children with 2 years before the Sheva Shnei Olav, before the
17 years.
The 7 good years, the end of the 7 good years, he had 2 children. And so they were in their early 20s.
No, but 17 years, Yaakov was
inside. Yeah, so they were in their early 20s.
Okay. Yeah, so over here it says David over here is saying about himself when I ben arusi uviziknusi his stakalti lira sanasa vetzadik veloyri isiv liyos nezav mikol v'chol v'zarem. So the mitzvahs of it is a lot going on. I did not see liyos nezav mikol v'chol. That's a very very powerful 2 words. A tzadik, Hashem does not. Although you see tzadikim, unfortunately they have nothing, and it appears they're suffering from the midas hadin. This Hashem does not totally abandon them. They have epis. They hold on to something. Michol v'chol. What do they have? I don't know. It's hard. People that were taken to Auschwitz. What do they have? What they had? Their emuna. They had their emuna. I mean, they were taken in to Auschwitz. They were told to take off their clothing. Their documents were destroyed. They were now being taken to their death. The lawyer isi tzadik ne'ezov. What do you mean? He's going to die in 10 seconds. What does he have? He's naked. He has nothing. Nothing. Mitzudas David says, Mikol v'chol. He has something. He still has something. What is it that he has? I guess you have to say he has his dignity. He has his Yirat Shamayim. He has his emunah. Mikol v'chol. V'zaroi yish'alu lechem. And I did not see his seed, Yish'alu, have to beg for bread. Okay, really? You see today people, Rachmana Litzlan, you see people that there are shoyl ala psachim. I don't know, you, it's very difficult, obviously, what this means. No shortage. Non-stop. So what does this mean over here? So what does this mean? I don't know, we really don't know what this means. It's very, very difficult. It's very difficult exactly what it means exactly. If the mitzvah is saying very raw words. Let's go. What? Right, so what does it mean? I did not see, I analyzed tzadikim, and I did not witness a tzadik is ne'ezov v'zaroi mevakesh yish'alu for lechem. Okay, let's see further. I don't know, he's saying very raw words. Let's see a little bit more. Next pasuk, kol hayoyim, l'fi shekol hayoyim hoyin choynin aniyim amal v'lohem. So we're going now according to the mitzvah of David, the subject of this pasuk, Mordechai. We're on page 337, pasuk chaf hei in the mitzvah of David, chavav pasuk chavav, kol hayoyim the tzaddik why l'fisha kol hayoyim ha'yachon ani mamal ve'lochem, because every single day he was l'chonein aniim. He was gracious. The tzaddik was gracious to the poor. Hashem rewards. Hashem It's an investment. If you are gracious to people in your lifetime, Hashem will pay back, not you, your children. Your children. This is a very deep concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay back. I just want to ask, before we come, Mordechai, can you hear me? I can't hear you. I was wondering over here why. There's something wrong over here. I can't hear anyone. Let me see if I'm you. I have something that's wrong with my computer. I'm not doing something right over here. Can you try to talk more? Can you talk? I can't hear you. There's something wrong with my computer.
Very good.
Okay, I apologize to people listening online. When you speak, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. During the break, I'll try to figure out what I'm doing wrong. I don't know what I'm doing wrong over here.
Push back to the...
Shake your head if they hear.
Raise their hand if they hear you.
Speaker? Oh, anyway, let's try this. I'm doing something wrong. Okay, try to speak now. Mordechai, you want to speak now?
Okay,
now I hear you. Okay. Now I hear you. Okay, I apologize. Those with... Now I hear you. I hear you very low, but I hear you. And during the break, we'll try to figure out what's wrong here. There's something not right here. I can hear you very, very faint. So after...
Okay, yeah, do you hear me loud and clear, Robin Levine? I'm talking very loud now.
Okay, I can barely hear you. I hear you just a little bit, and during the break we'll try to figure this out, okay? So right now we'll leave it like this. I apologize, I can barely hear, but we'll figure out during the break. Okay. So we'll just finish up. Okay, over here we have Sur Meirav Asay Toiv Ushachoin Lo'olam. Okay, let's back to the Mitzvot David. Kol Yom Lefisha Kol Hayom Hayochoin Ani Mamal V'Lachem V'Lzem Meiroy Shayu V'Zal Lebracha Sur Meirav L'Chein Sur Meirav Asay Toiv V'Tishkoin B'Menucha Li'olam. Okay, therefore Sur Meirav L'Chein Therefore Sur Meirav Asay Toiv V'Tishkoin B'Menucha You will rest in peace Li'olam forever. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasik, Chof, Dalit. Pasik says, Yipol, Ramachol, we call upon our renowned. Yeah.
Which means, he says, falters.
Falters. Now he says over here something very bizarre in Rashi. L'shoin v'atipol me'al ha'gomol. Now this doesn't mean that she fell. She lowered herself. She mamish fell off a tipol. It says it by Rivka, right?
That's what it really means. She dismounted, right?
Right, but that's not the way we associate the word yipol. Yipol means that that's not your control. It's an involuntary act of falling. And here it says loshad vatil miyal hagamol. Okay, so he said yipol is you lower yourself, but low you till you don't go all the way down. Is this a controlled fall, or is this a fall that is again that you have no control over? It's Rashi saying something very interesting. Let's say lo yutol lo yushloch liyos nezav. You're not going to be cast away to be abandoned. Pasuk of hey nar hayisi pasuk ze. Okay, this is very popular in the benching. When anyone has a parish on benching, when they come to this pasuk, they all quote this Rashi. Pasuk ze. Not like the Mitzvah Stav, the Mitzvah Stav appears to be saying that this pasuk was written by David. And David only lived 70 years. So David's perspective is limited. It's limited to a short period of time, 70 years. But when you're dealing with the Sar HaOlam, you're dealing with a minister in heaven that is watching 6,000 years. And he sees the shalsheles of a family, of cycles. What? Michael, one of the Malachim, which is Michael, Gavriel, Odiel, Raphael. It's one of the Malachim. Pasuk says Sar Ha'olam Amoroi. Dilu David, like Kash Kulahai, was not so old. The word Kash, very interesting. This word, how you Kishisha, the Kishisha, it means old. Kishish, old. Okay, people that talk online again. I apologize. I can barely hear you. We're going to figure this out later. But the ilu davar leikashku lechayim mufarishku beyivamis, and therefore this is referring to the sar. The Gemara there says the sar shel oilam said this pasuk, and it's very fascinating. If you study families, wealth does not remain in a family forever. There are nothing like even Torah. I mean, it's a tremendous bracha that you should see a family that has a legacy. It continues with them for generations. Comes a certain point in time that it passes on to other people. And over here, it's saying is that a tzaddik, or that a tzaddik, maybe in his lifetime, he suffered abject poverty, but look at that family. A generation later, more than 70 years later, and you'll discover incredible wealth, incredible bracha. And when you look at history in the bigger picture, you see something very, very different. It's a very fascinating idea. Okay, let's go further. Next, kol hayom hatzadik chayin aniyim malve lochem, the tzadik is malve. He's gracious, and the subject according to Rashi is the tzaddik. He is gracious. Umal v'lohem v'zaroi zeshuhu zoreya litzdaka soifer livracha. Rashi has a very unique interpretation of the word zaroi. He does not learn it referring to the children. It refers to his actions, his deeds, the act of being generous, being gracious, and giving tzedakah. You are planting a seed. You're planting a seed, and this seed will ultimately germinate, will ultimately take root and produce an Ilan Gadol. This act, v'zarei zeh shehu zoreya litzdaka soifai livracha. This pasuk is an amazing, amazing pasuk. When you do a good deed, it's like you're putting a seed in the ground. You put a seed in the ground and you come back 100 years later, you know what's there? Massive, massive tree. A massive tree that produces fruit. It's a source of bracha, shade, benefit to so many people. And how'd that tree get there? Someone put a little seed. Did the person that put that little seed, did he witness it in his lifetime? Did he witness to see it? No, not necessarily. But when you're doing a good deed, you are planting a seed. Don't ever underestimate doing a little thing that you do. Even you daven, you have kavana, a few words. You don't know the koyach of a little kavana, a little effort in davening a mincha, in davening a shmona esrei, the best that you can, in how that act can blossom and produce peros years later. And give a person incredible bracha. It's you know, people, they wonder. What you look around, why was this person zoichin that makes a simcha? This one makes a simcha. Where does it come from? Where does it come from, these things? You really, really don't know. And I went yesterday to Menachem Aval. He came here. There was a fellow, he'd Langer. Yeah. What's his first name? Yeah. Benny Langer? His father passed away. His mother passed away. His mother passed away. She was 97. How old was the father? So they used to live. They live with me. Mayor took me. We went to interview them. Suppose he told me. Mayor. He said that he knew my great grandfather, Ray Sharaf. So I went to visit him. So I wanted to hear what he had to say. So he didn't really, he told me. So we went to him, he was in his right mind, he was sharp. We went to visit him at his apartment. He at least to live.
You made a video.
Yeah, I have a video of him. We have a video. We have to edit the video. We took a look, we were there for almost an hour. I have a long video of him. He was then at that time, how old was he then? 95, older?
No, he lived till 93, he told me.
93? That's it? No, he was more than 90.
I'm pretty sure that's what he told me.
No, I think he was. Yeah, I think he was more like almost 100 years old.
His mother and his father were both bugged.
He was sharp. Yeah. He told us fascinating things. They went, they killed out, they liquidated his entire shtetl, and he was lying in a pile of bodies. He was lying in a pile. They thought he was dead, but he was alive, and he was peeking. body on top of him, body below him, and a pile of bodies. And the Nazis were going to clean up to make sure they killed every living creature. And he was sitting there and peeking and seeing, waiting for them to go, making believe he was dead. And finally, when they went away, he pulled himself out of the bodies. And they machine gun everyone. They machine gun everyone they can find in this village, whatever it was. And then he went on and he rebuilt. He came to America and he was very successful, it seems. He was he went all over, went different places. And then ultimately he went to Canada, Israel, and he was very close with the Baba Rebbe. He was very close to the Baba Rebbe.
His name is Binyamin Danger. And he grew up in Toronto.
I know either could I. Yeah?
He grew up in Toronto.
In Toronto.
And he has, I have a daughter in Toronto that knows them, from many years back. And he also has a sister, I think her name is Nussbaum or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
Who's also sitting Shiva.
So they got up this morning.
Yeah, they got up this morning.
So I was there, so he's telling me, so it's incredible. So he says that his mother, a baby, was born. So this is an incredible thing.
He learns in the Daf Yomi by Rabbi Einema in the morning before.
Over here in the Young Israel.
Yeah, right here.
In this shul, he learned here. Then that's the son. That's
the one over there. He's the one who's sitting.
The one I say is Binyamin. So the father, right? The father was nifted about 2 years ago.
He learns in the Daf Yomi every morning.
Right, and then. And then his wife was also like almost 100 years old. She was nifted last week, and he told me that before his mother was nifter, a grandchild was born, and then they didn't get a chance. They just didn't get a chance to name the child. Like, this is the ultimate bracha. A person dies almost 100 years old, and the child, and then a baby is born when she's still alive. And then, it takes a day or two to name the baby. You have to wait until they have Kriyas HaTorah, right? And so by the time they had a chance to do the next Kriyas HaTorah, she died. So they named the baby after her. So the baby was born when she was alive, and they named the baby after she died. I mean, that in my mind is an incredible nechama. It's like mamish, the shalsheles. It's like, it wasn't that she died, and then a lot of times, like during the Shiva, a baby is born. That's incredible also. That happened by the father. What?
I knew someone's father just last year. Davidson. Rachel Davidson. He was next to her. And
they named it, right. So the baby was born when he was alive, and by the time he came to the bris, they gave the name. That's like, Hashem is making a statement. That's a very powerful thing.
When the family made a wedding that week by Shiva.
So he was telling me, or Binyamin was telling me, because I used to come and talk to him every so often. He teaches in Brooklyn College. I used to talk, so he was telling me that Hashem basically gave him tremendous bracha. Is that in the tsar, in the moment of Avelus, like Kodesh Baruch Hu, they gave him a nechama. This made a chasna and this and that, and like you wonder, this fellow was lying. I remember him telling me was lying between bodies. There was a pile of dead bodies, and he was a young boy, probably bar mitzvah age. I think he told me. Remember, I have to look at the video. And he was lying in a pile of bodies, looking out. Who would imagine? You go there to the Beis Ovel, Mamish, there are grandchildren running around the place there. It's like a kindergarten. Like Mamish, a kindergarten. And that's probably just the Mashu. Who would imagine that matzav, someone is lying between dead bodies? You would say, look, Tzadik Nezov. Look what you would say. Over here you have people, Kehili, you have people, Tzadik Nezov. Look what they're doing, the murdering. What did he do? A teenage boy? What could a teenage boy possibly have done to deserve that everyone there should be shot dead by a bunch of animals, and he's hiding there, peeking out, waiting for them to go, and here he rebuilds a family, and he lives to almost, they both live, Kamat, 100 years old, and during the Shiva, both the father and the mother, people are born, they have a shame immediately, and you come to the Beis Ovel, and you have to make sure you don't get run over by grandchildren who are running around. So Nar Hayisi Gam Zakanti Veloyri Isi Tzadik Nezov. The Sar, you have to look at the big picture. We don't understand how these things work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people, they have a tremendous amount. One thing I was very impressed with him is like, he didn't wave. This person, the husband of this, the Nifteres, and I was talking to him, like very, very strong-minded person. Very strong minded. Amuna, like doesn't budge. You see a certain strength.
They were from Poland, and they were 5 minutes. Both of them were 5.5 years in concentration.
I know he was telling me about my grandfather.
When I spoke to him the other day, I'm not sure.
Great grandfather.
That was the only thing that kept him alive. That was the only thing that kept him alive.
He told me he shook his hand. He says he used to come. He used to travel from here to there. And then once my great grandfather came to the city, and he went over to him. He gave him shalom. He shook his hand. That was all he knew from my great grandfather. But it was interesting. We don't know about. And you'll say, oh, what about all the other 6 million people? Not everyone was zeicher to this. No, how do you explain that? No, I don't know. No one knows how to answer. No one knows how to answer these things. Hashem knows the cheshem. Now, okay, let's see over here. Let's finish up over here. Rashi called Yom Kei is a very fascinating word. Vizaroi lebracha. It's an act. A good deed is a seed. It is a seed which germinates. Vizaro zeshu zorea litztaka. You do an act of good deed. Soifa lebracha. Give Hashem time. Hashem operates in a different time frame. Now let's see just the Radak for one moment. I'm going to do this more tomorrow. There's a lot of good stuff over here. The Radak, what time is it? So just drop more. Radak, Pasuk of Dal, Ki Yipol, in Bob Mikra Vipol at Tzadik. So the Radak is saying something a little bit different. Radak of Israel, in Bob Mikra Vipol at Tzadik, Vipol Minachasav, Lo Yutol Gami Kolema, Lo Yushlach Loretz. If a tzaddik loses his assets, he will not falter entirely. Ki Hashem semach yaday. Uma shehevi olav me'atzara, hevi al derech musar avak mashamar ki es asher ye'ehav Hashem yechiyach. Why then did he lose his money? If you do find such a thing where a tzaddik, he suffers a loss, Hashem is giving him musar. V'zechu inyan bein tzaddik l'rosh ki ha'rosha kishayipol yikore es ein tekuma l'nifilosai, avl ha'tzaddik nemar olav, ki sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. So this pasuk over here is saying a very powerful yisur according to the Radak. And the Radak over here is saying is that this is ultimately the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. When it's they both fall, everyone in this world, b'liyotzei min haklal, suffers a nefila. There are no guarantees. The only difference is when a rasha suffers a nefila, he does not get up. When a tzaddik suffers a nefila, sheva pamim yipol tzaddik v'kom. But to say that a tzaddik will not fall, impossible. That's not the way the world is built. The world is built in such a way that tzaddikim will fall. The difference is, tzaddikim have built into their training, into their system, the ability to stand again. A rasha does not have that koyach to stand again. Pasuk hafei narhu yisi kiloymar. Loy binurai v'lo bizikunai loy reisi tzadik tzadik nezav legamri. Again, he adds the same word. The Radak is some of them is stuff legamri. The loy zaro sheivakesh lechem al hapsochem. They're not reduced, become destitute to the degree where they have to beg for food. V'zaro haban makatanim shehinich achrev lo yaazem akel nitzmach bezuchusoy. Hashem will not abandon them. Af al pi sheyovoy loy chesrein ra. Even though it will come upon them, it will come upon them a cheshoin ra, a very great loss. Kemoshi of Rasha, Hashem will not abandon them entirely. V'ne'ezav hu sheyachsar lo lechem v'simla. The word ne'ezav refers to clothing and bread. The kach b'kesh achav avinu v'nosan li lechem lechol v'egel l'bosh kolomar kidei chiyusi levad. I should be able to live. Hashem said, I will not. He brings a very beautiful proof from what it says in Chumash. When by the Maisa, we saw the ladder, the Sulam, and he woke up in the morning, and he says, he took a neder, and he said to Hashem, Hashem says, le'echol u'vegem b'lmesh. Yaakov asked for very modest things, bread and clothing. He did not ask for a car. He did not ask for a pool. He did not ask for going out to dinner in expensive restaurants every night. He just wanted bread and some clothing. And Hashem said, yes, granted. Ki lo ye'ezovcha, I will not abandon you. So Rashi over here, the Radak over here, says a very important principle. For here we see the word ne'ezov refers specifically back to the basic elements of life. The basic things in life you'll have. You may not have a car, you may not have a summer home in the Catskills, you may not be able to go away for Pesach to Eretz Yisrael to the Waldorf, but you won't be put to shame. You won't have to go collecting. You'll have bread and you'll have clothing. Nezov. Kol hayoim. Grotzolaymar. Kol hayoim. Vechin oischa kibisi kol hayoim. Kolema afilu be'es doichako. Hu choyin in amalve. Gifi koichoy. Even when a tzaddik has lost his money, he still gives tzedakah. Vezaroi gam ken yilmedu derocha vehim levrocha liyolam. We have here now a third interpretation what this means. That a person, this is an incredible, what Radak says here is really, really incredible. It really, think about what he says over here is, you have a person who is very wealthy, very successful, and he gives tzedakah. He's very generous. And then he suffers defeat. He suffers loss. He loses all of his money. So what really caused him the most pain? The pain is I'm not able to help people the way I was able to do so in the past. In the past, I was a wealthy person. I was able, when someone had a tzara, I was able to help. And now, Rachmana Litzlan, I can't do that. No, you'll be able to help. Just because you suffer an enormous defeat and you lose a lot of it, you'll still be able to help. Not only will you be able to help, your children will be able to help other people just like you. He's not just saying that your children are not parnasa. Radak over here is saying in awesome, awesome words. He's saying one more time these words. Roitzeloimar, kol hayomim, your whole life. Kiloimar, kiloimar radak. Afilu be'es doi chokoi, even when a person is in a matzav, where he has nothing, hu choinein umalve. He'll be gracious and will lend. Kifi koichoi. He can't go give millions of dollars anymore, but he can still give whatever he'll give. Now here's a Vizaroi, his children, Gam Kain Yilmidu Derochav. They will learn his ways. Vehem Lebrocha Lo'olam Sheyitnu Mishalohem. They'll also learn the ways of giving, to be generous like their father. V'chayinu, and they'll be gracious, hatzlichim, those that need. V'chayin ve'ye b'racha, shetitin l'acheinim mi'birchoy sechav u'mituvcha, oy perish, another interpretation, sheyivoruchum b'nei adam, kishayurum v'yoma, other people will give your children blessing. When they see the children of a person that was very kind, they bestow upon the children blessing. V'yoma e'la zeret tzadik. Hakel Yisparach Yevarchem Hashem, bless them b'zchus Avim, and remember their father. Okay, Sur Meira, Amar L'Shomei Musaroi, K'moy Sheichel B'Mizmar, Al Tischar, don't compete, don't imitate. Okay, this will leave over here. L'Shchon L'Oilam, this will leave for now. I'll just tell you what the story, interesting story is I know, so the person told this to me firsthand. Okay, I can't tell you the names. I don't even know who the people really, I don't even know the person, but I know there was a person that was very, in this community many, many years ago, was very, very wealthy. Very, very wealthy person, and he helped a lot of people. And he helped them in a dignified way by giving them loans. He gave out a lot of loans. People, younger life, who wanted to buy a house. So he lent them a lot of money to buy houses, to buy this, buy that. And this very wealthy person, he lost everything. He mamish lost everything. And when he lent people money, he never was toiveya. He never demanded from people to pay back. Because he knew, it was a dignified way of giving tzedakah. And people, some people paid back, some did not pay back. That's how it was. And when this person lost everything, so I know this fellow, he knew what happened, he lost everything. And he went to him, And he says, like, making believe, like, whatever. You know, like he doesn't know what's going on. And he went and he paid back the loan. A very significant amount of money that he didn't have, that he really did not have. He didn't have the money, but he put together the money because he knew, me'achori ha-paragoid, he knew secretly that this person just lost everything and was in a lot of trouble. And he got a loan from him to buy a house. And he had a job. He had a job. His wife had a job. They worked very hard. They worked very hard, these people. And he went, and he knew he was going through a difficult time, and he got the loan. And he basically took out his life savings, and he went back to him, and he paid off the loan prematurely. It wasn't due to, because, and the guy thanked him very, very much. Time passed, years passed, and this person made a comeback. He made a big comeback, this person. And when he made a comeback, the person who borrowed the money was involved in something else, and he was doing fundraising. And he went to him, asking for money for a project, because this person already reestablished. So he told him, you know, I wouldn't really give you money because whatever, you know, I know whatever. But I've been thinking about you all these years every day, because when you came to me and you paid back your loan, you don't know I was destitute. I didn't have a penny to my name, and I had money tied up all over the place. Money tied up. I just didn't have money for basic things to buy food. I suffered, and you saved my life. You came back, you paid your loan, and you made like nothing out of it. And you really got me through a difficult period. It's unbelievable, you know, the world upside down. This was a big gevir who gave everyone big loans, and you pay back the loan. Everyone, no one else came to pay me back when they knew what happened to me except for you. And I have to you incredible hakaras hatov. How you just, you know, like you may believe nothing happened. And you know, here you see a pasuk like this where it says, Kol hayoim choinein umalve v'zaro lebracha. What does this pasuk really mean? Every day you have people that this person was very generous. Chazal say the greatest form of tzedakah really is to get someone a job. That's the truth. The greatest form of tzedakah is to give a person the opportunity to make money. I was once sitting at the Shabbos table, and I told you this many times, the story, and this person who was reading from Avigdor Miller. Okay, I'm not really a big fan of those books. Some of what it says over there, he was all these question and answers from Avigdor Miller. And he said, define the meaning of a true friend. What is a friend? Mm-hmm. Okay, they asked this to Rav Avigdor Miller. So the Rosh Habayis, he was sitting at the table with the book, and he said to the people at the table, "No, what do you say? What does it mean to be a friend? Define the meaning, the definition, the Torah dictionary definition of a friend." So one guy said, you know, this and this and this and this. So I said, yes, me, so what I saw, my big chachma, yeah. The chacham of the manishtana. What is a friend? So I said, a friend is someone who you can tell to him your averos. Mm-hmm. You feel so close, you can say, you know what I did? You know the avera that I did last night? I'll tell you what I did. I need to talk to someone. That's a friend. So he looks at me and he says, okay, let me tell you what Avigdor Miller says, what a friend is. I was shocked what he said, but it's so true. It's so true. He says, you know what a friend is? A person who comes over to you and says, you know something? I discovered a way to make money. I know how to make money. I tried and it works. I want to teach you a technique how to make money. I know it works. I do this. I'm in this business. It works. I do this. 100% legal. I'm talking about kosher, v'yosher, galat kosher money. No shilas. I want to teach you. I like you. You're my friend. I want to be mahani. I want to teach you how to make money. That is what Avigdor Miller says is the definition of a true friend. Isn't that amazing? It's not a ruchnius. It's not like you learn with someone. Avigdor Miller was kodesh kodashim. Avigdor Miller. You know, they play these tapes. Unfortunately, all these tapes and these things, they're taking from one little prod of his life. He dealt with certain chevra, so he used to joke around with them and say funny things. That wasn't the real Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller was such a holy person. I remember those last years. He used to come to his son's yeshiva, Shmuel Miller. Shmuel Miller and his wife, they both passed away from COVID. I think they passed away from COVID, mamish, from the Magefa in Lakewood. But the last, they used to have a yeshiva over here, around on where Toro is now, on Ocean. So he had a yeshiva. I used to daven there mincha on Sunday. I don't know what it was on Sunday. I used to teach in college. On Sunday, I teach in college. I used to daven there mincha. I used to daven on Shabbos sometimes. And every Sunday, Avigdor Miller would come to his son's yeshiva to give a musa shmus. Musa. And it haunts me. Ad hayom hazeh. He used to come in. He was a very holy person. He's a very different person than when you listen to the Asaras Hadibrois of marriage. You ever listen to that tape? Classic, classic mayor, you listen to that tape. The Asaras Hadibrois of marriage. You can't stop laughing, listen to that tape. Avigdor Miller, he had 1,000 tapes. Okay, yes, he get that, those shiurim that he gave was for a certain type of crowd, but that wasn't his entire life. He was a very, very holy, holy person, to an extreme. And it's amazing what he said, the taich of a real friend, if you're willing to go on your own and teach him how to make money. Here you have, kol hayoyim choynim umalve. Here the tzaddik. Nad hoyisi gam zakanti v'lo yiriisi tzaddik. The subject of this pasuk is a tzaddik. And what is a tzaddik? A tzaddik is a person that gives money to another person in a dignified way. When you give tzedakah, the person you give tzedakah to is beholden to you. You feel bad. You feel like master-slave. When you lend a person money, what do I owe him? I'm doing him the favor. I'm getting off some money out of his account. He has to pay taxes on it. Right? Choinein umalve. This act of giving a person an opportunity. You get lend a person money. He can invest. He can start a business. He can make it back. He can help make for himself a job. Is v'zaroi levracha. This act of kindness, of giving a person money, we're dealing with a dignified way of giving money. This is a gemach, exactly. An interest-free loan gemach. Ezra's Torah, people don't even know what they do, Ezra's Torah. One of the biggest things that Ezra's Torah does, have interest-free loans. They have an enormous, they do an still hate, and they vet, the loans that they give are very intensely vetted to make sure that it's not a tzedakah. That the people they give the money to, they have a means of making parnasa, and the people are very desperate, and they give them loans. And they said the rate of return on the loans is like 95%. And they go on something like that. Once they went to a dinner, people don't even know about it. They say, Rav Henkin's at Zechet Tzak Levracha. And they do that ad hayoma, they do that with an intensity. There are a lot of organizations which do a lot, every organization. And it's a very, very big thing. Tzaddik, the Rav Henkin, the Tzaddik Yisrael Olam, Choineinu Malve. It's still going on. It's still going on, Arayom HaZeh, to a very large degree, to Lehet, V'Zaroi Levracha. And these acts, these seeds that you plant, bring tremendous bracha. Okay, Mishnah tomorrow will do more. We have to take a short break, and then we're going to learn from the telephone book. We're going to continue the tackle of the telephone book. About Yonei, Rosh Hashanah, more in Yonim. Slichos, Erev Rosh Hashanah. We have to now fix the volume on this computer. So let's see what is going on over here. What is going on here?